Bob Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is no-tell. The Lifesaver Company is coming out with a new non-fattening candy. It's a hole with nothing around it. And Phil Harris finds it difficult to eat low-calorie food, so he's been doing setting up exercises. You can find him at any bar saying, set him up. Bing Crosby bought a second-hand rowing machine to help him lose weight. He got it for a ridiculous figure. Everybody in my family is exercising. Even my brother's doing a two-year stretch. Lots of people have asked Jack Benny why he doesn't make Don Wilson reduce, but Jack says it's Don's weight that makes him such an interesting announcer. When Don comes on, it's like a suspense program. You wonder which chin he's going to talk out of. I know two tailors who have been fitting Don for 3 weeks, and they still haven't met. Of course, Bing has to watch his weight all the time. I won't say he was always fat. When he was born, I'd love to have had the talcum powder concession, that's all. Bing was so chubby, his mother had to jack him up to change his diaper. And he still has a spare tire to prove it. But because Bing plays so much golf, his arms are well-developed, and I don't have to tell you that he does a lot of horseback riding, too. You know, I know someone who went on a diet and lost 32 pounds. Think of that, 32 pounds. Well, that's enough to start another Mickey Rooney. And Frank Sinatra really needs to put on some weight. The other night he came over to my house and I showed him the closet and said, here, Frank, hang up your coat. He said, I can't. The moths are pulling the other way. Nobody's ever satisfied the way they are, though. Kate Smith would like to be thin. Sinatra would like to be fat. Have you ever seen Sinatra in a bathing suit? With a hair on his chest, he looks like one of Liberace's used toothbrushes. Margaret Whiting, backed up by Les Brown, as Gypsy's doing whatever Lola wants. Come in, Maggie.
Whatever Lola wants. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through. I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Take off your coat. Don't you know you can't win? You're no exception to the rule. I'm irresistible. Give in. Give in. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. That little man, little Lola wants you. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through. I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Take off your coat. Thank you. You're no exception. I'm irresistible, you prove. Give in, give out, give in.
Hey, Bob, we're all set to start the show. What are we going to do tonight?
Well, I just saw a terrific movie, Walt Disney's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The whole thing was filmed under the ocean.
Really?
Yeah, they're still ringing out the cameraman.
But 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is such a great story. Tonight, we're going to present our version.
Wonderful, Bob.
Here we go. Some sea music, Les.
Ahoy, mates. I'm Salty Hope. Able-bodied seaman, sailor before the mast, world adventurer, and notary public. Mother wanted me to be a lawyer. Tonight I'm going to tell you about a sea monster. A terrible monster that rose up out of the deep and destroyed the ship I was on. This monster had tentacles like an octopus, claws like a tiger, and more teeth than Liberace. Some of you may find this hard to believe, but of what I've seen with my own eyes, I've seen with my own eyes. And when I've seen something, I've seen it. So gather around, mates, and I'll tell you as strange a tale as you ever heard. This sea story you're about to hear is true. Only the fish have been changed by the order of the Board of Health. So let's go back to when it all began.
San Francisco, the year is 1811 when the world's commerce was carried in sailing ships. But now the proud clipper ships are afraid to leave San Francisco Harbor, and sailors huddle in frightened groups on the dock.
I tell you, lads, go out on these ships and you'll never come back. The monsters dragged 50 of them to the bottom. I'm staying on land.
Me too.
Well, I ain't scared.
I'll sail on any ship anywhere. What's the matter, you chicken? What are you all afraid of?
Afraid of a sea monster 105 feet long with scaly claws and breathing fire.
Oh.
Throw some water on him, boys. He's fainted.
Paralyzed San Francisco Harbor. Something had to be done. The United States Navy commissioned a gunboat to search out the monster and called for volunteers.
Next man, step forward.
Aye, aye, sir.
Name?
Salty Hope.
Age?
19.
I love this script.
My favorite.
Reading?
Able-bodied seaman, a master harpooner.
I see you brought your harpoon with you.
We may forget the monster and go after you.
Master Harpooner, huh? Mm-hmm. You'll come in handy when we run down the sea beast.
Oh, I'm sure I will, sir. I can throw a 3-pound harpoon 1,000 feet or a 1,000-pound harpoon 3 feet, whichever you prefer.
You're a good harpooner, huh?
Well, I don't want to brag, but they always call me to get the last olive out of the bottle.
I'm warning you. You've got your work cut out for you. The sea monster's gigantic.
I can handle him, sir. I'm an expert.
You are?
Yes, sir. I've harpooned 500 whales, 50 walruses, a dozen sea lions, and a boatswain's mate who didn't get out of the way in time.
How awful.
Oh, it was over so fast, he didn't know what hit him. One moment he was laughing, the next shish kebab.
Well, do I sail with you, Captain?
Yes, we'll sign you on. Next man, step forward.
Well, mates, next morning, we set out after the monster. All San Francisco lined the shores. We sailed out of the harbor. We sailed past the docks. We sailed under the Golden Gate Bridge. We sailed past Alcatraz. That Milton Berle's got friends everywhere. It was a grand sight as we headed down the bay under full sail.
Raise the topsail. Set the spinnakers. Reef the yard arm. You. Why aren't you working?
I don't have to work. I'm the harpooner.
Was that all you're going to do? Just stand there picking your teeth?
It's my harpoon, sir. I'll do what I want with it. We searched for a month with no sign of the monster. And all that time, the only thing we sighted was a school of porpoises, a few sticks of driftwood, and a loser from People Are Funny.
back. We searched every foot of the ocean, sailing in smaller and smaller circles, until we were sailing in such a small circle, the lookout on the front of the ship got his necktie caught in the rudder. We were beginning to believe there wasn't any monster, and then one night it happened.
Sail ho! Vessel off the port bow!
Hand me my telescope. Ye gad.
What is it, Captain?
That's no vessel. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. It's long and slimy and has great hairy arms and glowing yellow eyes. What'll we do?
There was only one thing we could do. We searched the captain's cabin and took away his bottle.
Ooh, it's the sea monster. It's coming at its full speed. It'll smash the ship to pieces.
Run out the cannon. Fire number one. Fire two. Fire three.
That didn't stop the monster. It's going to hit us amidships.
Don't worry, I'll get it with this harpoon. The gigantic monster loomed up in front of me. With all my strength, I hurled the harpoon into its mammoth side, but it had no effect at all. It was like sticking a toothpick in Jackie Gleason. The thing roared on and smashed into our ship. Sank instantly. I found myself in the water and I couldn't swim.
Help! Help! I'll save you. I'll help you over to that piece of driftwood. Just put your hand on my shoulder.
Oh, gee, thanks. A few minutes later, I was safe on a drifting spar through a great stroke of luck.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. What a time to meet Florence Chadwick. And that's all I want from you, assisted by Les Brown. Come in, Maggie. Maggie Whiting.
A little love that slowly grows and grows, not one that comes and goes. That's all I want from you. A sunny day with hopes up to the sky, a kiss and no goodbye. That's all I want from you. Don't let me down. Oh, show me that you care. Remember when you give, you also get your share. Don't let me down. I have no time to wait. Tomorrow may not come. We'll dream a dream too late. A little love that slowly grows and grows, not one that comes and goes. Don't let me down. Oh, show me that you care. Remember when you give, you also get your share. Don't let me down. I have no time to wait. Tomorrow may not come when we're dreaming. A little love that slowly grows and grows, not one that comes and that's all I want from you. That's all I want from you.
We continue our story. On the spot where the gunboat sank, there is nothing afloat but a driftwood raft.
Ooh. Oh, this hot sun beating down. Water. Water. Betty, we're done for. We'll never see land again.
I had a feeling he was right. The sun beat down. Waves washed over us. We broiled 1 minute, froze the next. I didn't mind it. I was from California. There we were, the two of us were the only survivors. The bosun's mate and me, the harpooner. Will you quit blubbering, man? Go over there and sit down.
Okay.
Oh!
What's the matter?
Will you be careful where you leave that harpoon?
Scotty, turn around and I'll pull it up. The days went by. We drifted helplessly. We had the ship's compass, but it was no good. It only pointed to north. We were so desperate for something to eat, we started to look at each other. Somehow, I didn't trust the bosun's mate. There's nothing I could put my finger on except the way he kept walking around me with a knife and a fork and a bottle of ketchup. In our misery, the sea monster was forgotten, and suddenly it rose up out of the ocean right beside us.
Ahoy, the Ross! You men come aboard and step my way!
It was not a monster at all. It was a strange undersea ship, the like of which the world had never seen before. It had portholes along its sides, a turret in the center, and two long, sharp tails. A man stood on its deck.
Don't see this pistol in my hand! Get aboard!
Not me! I'm not coming on your ship, and you can't make me. No matter what you do, you hear? You'll never get me on that ship, so there's no use of your... The last one aboard is the sister.
Take them below, men. Close the hatch.
Aye, aye, sir.
Prepare to submerge. Submerge.
The weird craft plunged under the sea. Through the huge windows, we could see schools of fish swimming by. Great sea turtles. And on the ocean floor, strange coral formation, shells, and the guy who wrote Shaboom. The captain walked over to me.
You are aboard the Nautilus, the world's first submarine. It travels beneath the ocean.
Beneath the ocean? How do you get air down here?
Through a double coil induction vasculator system controlled by a selective dynamometer which ionizes hydrogen and nitrogen by osmotic condensation. Any questions?
Yeah, how do you get air down here?
Through a long straw.
You say this is the first submarine?
Yes, I invented it myself. By accident.
By accident?
Yes, I was trying to make a piggy bank and it got away from me. I have spent my entire fortune building this ship, and it's worth it. I live here under the sea in perfect contentment. No place has such peace and quiet. No place is so far removed from the world.
Poor man, he'd never heard of Pasadena. I don't see how you stand it down here out of touch with everything.
Well, I do get a little curious. What's going on in the world?
Well, it's the year 1811. James Madison is president. The railroad is halfway to the Pacific, and Crosby just made another picture.
Crosby? Is he still around?
Yeah, he'll never let go. Captain, you're not going to stay down here the rest of your life, are you?
Why not? My kingdom is the sea, my friends are the fish, and the ocean is my backyard.
Sounds jolly, but soggy. I'll slow down your badminton game.
I know you must think I'm a madman, but I'm not. I'm not, you hear? I'm perfectly sane.
Your tonsils went that way.
Down here, I'm ruler of all I survey.
Standing there, the captain was a striking figure with his black beard and dark, piercing eyes. There was nothing particularly strange about his eyes, except that one was above the other. He looked as though his mother had been frightened by a traffic light.
You! Why are you staring at me?
I'm sorry, I was waiting for the go-ahead signal. He was very richly dressed. He wore a beautiful purple velvet robe and puffed on a hand-carved meerschaum pipe that hung loosely around his hips. After a fine dinner that evening, he showed us around the strange vessel.
And this is our automatic kitchen. Even though we're 5 miles down in the ocean, we're equipped to cook 600 lobsters at one time.
600 lobsters? Why so many?
You never know when people will drop in.
He was real gone. He had more screws loose than a dollar watch.
Now then, here's my next invention. This machine washes the clothes of the entire crew in a single operation.
How does it work?
Well, when I press this button, hot water flows through this chromium pipe. Cold water enters from this pipe over here, and a scientifically measured amount of soap powder slides down this stainless steel tube and drops into the mixture.
Yeah, but how do you actually wash the clothes?
We pound them between two rocks.
Amazing. How long are you going to keep us prisoner on this submarine, Captain?
I must warn you, don't try to escape. On a submarine, the slightest mishap can cause disaster.
Really?
To give you an example, this morning we submerged too fast while the hatch above the crew's quarters was still open. It was a terrible tragedy.
What happened?
We lost our ashtray.
Yeah, a thing like that could stop any ship.
Come on, we'll finish our tour.
Later that night, we sat in the captain's cabin, and he told us of his mad inventions. His voice raved on and on.
And I've invented new forms of communication that will stagger the world. I predict someday there will be a telegraph. I predict there will be telephones. I predict there will be radio.
He was beginning to sound like Drew Pearson. How can there be radio? This is the year 1811.
You doubt me. I have a set right here. I'll switch it on.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North American. All the ships at sea. Let's go to Prince.
Gee, he started earlier than I thought.
Attention, West Coast editors. Marjorie Main and Eddie Fisher have just eloped. They are now in Hong Kong. To shake off reporters, they are traveling under the name of Mr. and Mrs. Key Luke.
How did he ever beat Luella to that one?
And ladies and gentlemen, in case you get a call from that certain musical program, the secret song this week is Don't Go Down in the Mine Tonight, Mother. I'll bring the coal up myself.
Isn't that Walter Cronkite wonderful?
And in addition to radio, I have other ideas that will amaze the world. I've already invented a machine that will fly through the air.
You've invented airplanes?
Yes. Now I'm working on something to make them practical.
What's that?
Stewardesses.
He was nuts, but I liked the way he was thinking.
But I haven't told you about all of my inventions yet. I'm working on some fantastic things.
The captain raved on and on through the night. No question about it, he was wackier than Jerry Lewis, the psychiatrist.
My ideas will revolutionize industry, commerce, the whole world.
About 3 a.m, he began to nod. His eyes grew heavy. Escape was the only thought in my mind. Watching my chance, I leaped for the pistol in his belt.
Ha-ha! Now I got you. Put your hands up over your head.
You fool! Give me that pistol or I'll take it away from you.
Get back.
Now hand me that gun.
But I shot you so many times. Why don't you fall?
I forgot to tell you, I also invented bulletproof longies.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.